And that physical event will be occurring at Chico Country Day School, 102 West 11th Street. And that doors open at 3:30. And the youth program starts at 4 o'clock, which is a perfect time to introduce a studio guest I've been really happy to have. This is your third show in a row, correct?
Yeah.
Carrington's got some music you're going to share. What are you going to share, Carrington? Tell us what you're going to share with us here today.
I just have a few or an update on some information from Stairways Programming and
awesome. We can say that.
A song or two for
awesome.
You.
Awesome, Carrington. It's always good to see Carrington. And Carrington's going to be involved in the Palooza. You're going to be doing some performances, and why don't you give us a little sneak peek of what you're going to do on the Palooza, man? You got that figured out yet?
Playing.
What are you going to be playing?
I'm debating between four songs right now. I don't really know how much time I'm going to have yet, but probably a good fallback for me is always House of the Rising Sun, because it's just one of my strongest songs. But also, I learned recently a new song by Shaggy, Angel, and also a gorilla song and something else.
Right? A gorilla song and something else. That'll get people in the crowd. So we'll give you a little bit more about that show. Actually, I got to get this out there because I am going to be the Peace and Social Justice show extraordinaire. It makes me feel for Chris Nelson, who's been doing most of these shows 3-4 weeks in a row, but I'm doing the next 3 weeks. And I'm actually going to be filling in on Sue Hillebrand's show. So you're going to be hearing me a lot on the radio. So I hope my little bit of a raspy cold or flu is not too bad out there for the listeners. But I do want to get some of the important stuff out of the way, that Without a Roof is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community... By producing, I looked at the board and I lost it. Community festivals and events, including Artuberfest, Chico Palo, True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, NorCal Jazz Festival, Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Midtown Local, serving small batch coffee, breakfast pastries, sandwiches, salads, wraps, and handcrafted pizzas. Plus, vegan and gluten-free options. 7 beers on tap, Chico's only cold brewed iced coffee on tap, a nice assortment of wine, and a peaceful is emphasized, outdoor patio on East 6th Street near Pageant Theater. Open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday from 8 to 9, and Sunday from 8 to 8. Like them on Facebook or call 966-0054. For more information, bring it on down to Midtown. You know, I have to slip this in almost like a news show. I was given this by someone who said she was in tears, and I know her well enough. I won't say who that was. There was a horrible event that happened. I'm just going to read a little bit of the ditty for what happened. A gentleman that was stuck in a dumpster, and this is from Action News. Here's a look at Chico Fire Department rescue at 12th and Park Ave. Fire Chief Bill Hack tells a homeless man was sleeping in the dumpster and got picked up by Waste Management. Several stops later, they heard him scream. Waste Management drivers wouldn't comment on camera, but tell me that it was a compactor inside the truck that's rolled each stop to make room for more garbage. The man hasn't been identified, but was treated for chest injuries. I wanted to try something here for the listeners to kind of make me a little bit of how I feel and some other folks feel. Try the best you can not to say to yourself, what if this were my child, but to force yourself to believe that it was. Because I'm telling you, for folks not closely connected with people living roofless, with the ability to know the fear and the sadness we all face when we read stories like this, I'm kind of going, do I know this person? Do I know someone that knows this person? And just the overall shock that a man had to find shelter in a dumpster. I did a post on this. I'm going to put what I put in a little bit of a comment that I got, but this is a really serious issue for me that I want to say is an appalling incident that the city of Chico, California is culpable for. And as they criminalize homeless folks and push them out of the business areas, I have heard other roofless human beings being spotted sleeping in areas where they have never been seen before in large numbers due to the new cruel waterways and public property ordinance. They're going where the police and private security are not patrolling, including my neighborhood as well. Folks spotted walking in my neighborhood with sleeping gear in the early morning has risen substantially, and I don't live but 6 or 7 blocks from downtown. Now, roughly, and this gentleman had a beautiful response to this, but he said, roughly 1,000 homeless in Chico, less than 200 shelter beds. These new laws against the homeless are dangerous to all human life. Can you imagine the mental damage the garbage truck driver would have faced if this man had died? These laws almost killed someone. We voted in laws that can potentially kill someone because the city was being inconvenienced by already devastated human beings. It's a wonder he's still alive. It is a wonder that any person can survive a winter on the streets. I want to expand a little on this. I don't know if you can tell by my demeanor. I guess Carrington might be able to tell by my demeanor. He's in the studio. But I want to expand a little bit. Council Member Golliff, back during the sit and lie in the fall of 2013, she had a quote that's come to fruition. She used the term balloon. So if we're going to be forcing them out of downtown, all you're doing is squeezing them elsewhere. And once again, people are telling me about ruthless people in the creeks and parks after sit and lie that exploded once the new waterway and public property ordinance is passed. The city knows full well they are shifting the problem, a.k.a. squeezing the balloon. I want to briefly reference a dead poor. It was a brilliant Chico News and Review front page story from December. A portion of the article details the extent the county goes through to prove without reason or doubt that no surviving family member are capable of paying for the funeral before the county will pay the cost of burying a destitute person to a pauper's grave. Now I'm going to pull up a law that's physically on the books. I'm trying to go through my I had this pulled up. Give me a second, guys. But this is the California state law, and I'm going to read it to you right now, right here, right now. California Welfare and Institutions Code, Section 17,000. Every county and city, that seems like I would include Butte County and Chico, and county shall relieve and support all incompetent, poor, indigent persons and those incapacitated by age, disease, accident, lawfully resident therein, where such persons are not supported and relieved by their relatives or friends, by their own means, or by state hospitals or other private institutions. So in other words, the state's responsible. I want to say, what if the county would spend the same amount of diligence adhering to this law solely as a way to avoid having the county to pay for a funeral when the people who are struggling to find affordable housing, shelter, and services, perhaps they wouldn't end up in a pauper's grave? I have been told off the record by several people who have been interviewed by the Butte County Grand Jury as to what county and city governments are doing to tackle the homeless problem that are plaguing our community and also communities nationwide. I urge everyone, particularly people that are privy to the dark underbelly of homelessness services and the folks on the streets in our county, to contact the grand jury and ask to be heard. Grand jury can be found www.butecounty.net/administration/grandjury.aspx. Just look for Grand Jury, Butte County. Got a number too, 530-538-76631. And don't let Chico City Council or the Board of Members off the hook either. To me, I'm never going to forget the day that someone handed me the dumpster story. And yeah, you know, you got anything on that, Carrington, that you want to add to that? Or
Honestly, I only just heard of it myself a few hours ago, and it's a tragedy that that actually happens in today's society, and then people just forget about it or just like brush under the rug like it didn't happen. And yeah, it's truly one of the saddest things that I have to face with all the time.
Well, thank you for that, Karen. You know, I want to move to a little bit. I want to pick it up a little, guys. It's not going to be dark and dingy for the rest of the show. I mean, to me, that's dark and dingy. Doesn't get any darker and dingy than that inside a dumpster. But it is a good story here of Guitar Clem. And I'm going to play a piece that I interviewed Guitar Clem just as he was in the vestige of finding himself some supportive housing here in Chico through Stairways programming and then ultimately through HUDVAS services through the Veterans Administration. So no further ado, I'm going to play that here for you right now here on the Without a Roof radio program, January 2016, People Powered Radio. I got what I consider a really cool story because I know Clem. I'm going to put the camera on Clem, one of my favorite people out here, a vet, Marine, U.S. Marine. But I've talked to him a lot about trying to get housed through HUDVASH and using the VA services. And I asked him, I knew there was going to be a young woman, a young lady coming over here to help him with his DD-214. And anyway, why don't you take it there from there, Clem, on how you think you're going to take her up on her offer and get off here off the streets.
You know, I don't like being in four walls, but I'm old enough now to be in four walls.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting beat up from the feet up, tore up from the floor up. And it's about time for me and my dog, we get housed. And I don't like getting this old, but I just can't take it no more. I've been through a lot, and a lot of people have been through a lot at my age. If you were served in the service or if he didn't. You get to my age, if you make it there, you get road tour. It's too much. So you got the weather, you got everybody else out there, and you got to fight for your rights. And it's just a tough battle. It is.
What's the biggest thing you're looking forward to being housed? What are you thinking about? Lazy Boy newspaper?
Lazy Boy recliner, which I have. I haven't been in a long time. It's still there. Boots off. Remote control, I guess. Watch the TV.
All right, man, that was Guitar Clem right around Thanksgiving down in Children's Park. I want to give a little backstory on what's happened between then and now. I mean, there's been some news coverage other than this. I mean, I think he was in the paper. I think Action News might have even done a little piece on him. But I've known Clem a long time, man. I actually laid Clem down on a piece of cardboard by the freaking bathrooms, dude. He was right out after he got a massive back surgery, and he right to the street. He couldn't get out of his wheelchair. So I really think this is a beautiful story, because about this time last year, as I was putting the Palooza together, there was a lot of talk about youth shelter and the lack of harm reduction shelters, where it's kind of like, look, man, people are down and out. Don't make them jump through hoops of saying you got to be sober. You can't have a dog. You can't have any possessions. You can't have this. You can't have that. And I'm really, really pleased to say that there's been Stairways programming, which he's gonna, Carrington's going to tell us a little bit about here. But I have to give a shout out to Chico Housing Action Team, who's done a similar thing with housing folks, and you know, making them aware that you're going to be housed in this situation if everyone in the community agrees that you're a good fit, just like they do at Stairways. And that, you know, it's behavior based. I also have to do a huge shout out. I can't possibly do enough shout outs for the only, absolute only Housing First model in California. Liman was able to, and I thought that was kind of tip-mail message. And when he called me back and said the VA was engaged and it looked like he was going to get housed immediately, almost immediately, I started to cry, man. So maybe you could take it from there and give us a little bit of info on Stairways programming, Carrington.
Yeah, no, it was really great when we saw him getting housed up. And Stairways programming is an amazing program. If you haven't heard of it, it offers services across the board. Like right now, we're housing 60 people, and we're supplying supportive services for over 100 people. And our Tay House is going to be open, and hopefully the next few weeks, as soon as modeling is going to be done. And if you don't know what Tay is, that's a transitional age youth. We're going to be having 7 new beds for homeless youth within soon, hopefully.
Wow, let's land on that, man, because I'm so glad you mentioned that. I don't know what more detail you can give, but when we did the Palooza last year, the film festival, the whole goal was to raise awareness about homeless youth and the fact there was no physical homeless youth shelter in Butte County. And I do believe what I'm hearing from you is that right now that youth shelter is not open, but it's very, very soon it will be.
Yeah, see, the Tay Housing, we were hoping to have actually already up right now, but it's been a little bit slow with the construction and everything on the inside, but hopefully within the next few weeks it's going to be up and going, if not a few weeks, very soon.
You know, that's absolutely amazing, and I'm kind of talking like I do at City Council, stuff comes to my mind, but I just cannot tell you how happy I have been towards the middle end of this year. Early in the year, they had a heart team that came out of the Youth for Change that physically goes out and outreaches with runaway youth. But I can remember back to Chief Trossel talking with him one-on-one several times back in 2013-14, where he would kind of, I didn't really like it, but he was honest. He said, how come you're the only one out there, Bill, doing outreach? You know, how come you're the only one? And he knew. I got calls from the police. Can you help me with this person? I'm housing people in like what I called safe houses. But there was nobody out there physically trying to help people that physically couldn't get into shelters for one reason, shape, or form. So I cannot tell you how happy I am, because I see people I know. I see Clem. I'm not going to say other names. I see Clem. I know people that have physically been completely hopeless, close to hopeless. They're physically off the streets. And I just... it's been the most beautiful thing that's happened, because it's, you know, when you do this work, man, there's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, right, Carrington? But, you know, when these good stories come, and the work that the Stairways programming and chat and HUD Vash and others with harm reduction and helping people where they're at to get where maybe they should be is where it's all at. So Yeah, and I could go on and on about that. I could get on a soapbox and go on and on, but I'm going to do better than that because I have one of my favorite people in Chico. I've known her pretty much my whole time of advocating here. When the first time I showed up at the Chico Housing Task Force, Chico Homeless Task Force back in 2013, she was the chair. Might have been 12. I don't know. I got here at the end of the year. But bottom line, Jennifer Hafner has a beautiful interview I did with her in her office in preparation for the Poor People's Philalooza and Film Festival. She's one of the expert panels, and she does an absolutely brilliant job explaining what affordable housing is, what Chico should be doing, and what they can do. So no further ado, I want to bring on Jennifer Hafner in this pre-recorded segment right here on the Without a Roof radio program, People Powered Radio, KZFR.
How many families live here, Mama Rose?
Wow. Eight different people, even though that's one house.
Sorry, we don't have Jennifer. We have Mama Rose. Rooms. Listen to this one.
So
this one's good, too.
Families going homeless on December 26th?
Well, it's supposed to be there December 26th, but we're gonna try to stay until the first night. Where are we going to go on the 26th? Day after Christmas. Who has money? Yeah. Who has money day after Christmas? I'll go squat on their in their front yard. I'll put the tent up until the 1st of January.
Mm-hmm. Think you're going to go homeless?
I'm having a hard time right now. This is one time I could actually question myself. One time. But I've always gotten this. We've always gotten into another. That might be junk or the ghetto, but I've always. I'm scared. I'm truly scared because I don't know what to do. And my husband can't help because of dementia. My plate's always full. God fills our plate only what we can handle. I think he thinks I can handle a whole lot.
So talking about affordable housing, specifically here in Chico, there is lots of information regarding the median incomes, the type of employment that our community has, and our city certainly knows that there's a lack of affordable housing. In their own reports, they state that clearly there is a lack of affordable housing in our area. When you talk about some of the statistics that they provide, the Chico median household income is $41,632, and that was in 2011, but those are some of the most recent statistics that they are working with. And almost one-third of Chico households earn less than $25,000 a year. So that is a significant difference in what that means you'll be able to afford in our community. This report from the city of Chico talks about the median contract rent being $827, and that includes utility costs of $60 and paying 30% of your income towards rent and utilities. But in order to even afford the median contract rent of $827, your household would have to earn $35,000. And I just stated that one-third of people in Chico households earn less than $25,000. So that means there's a significant portion of people that can't even afford the median contract rent in our community. And that's a real problem. And we're talking about people that are employed, that are working in service professions. And so if someone is employed and can't afford that, what does that mean for part-time workers, temporarily unemployed workers? Well, I guess they wouldn't be workers if they're unemployed, but unemployed, people with disabilities, anybody that's receiving disability benefits, the rate of that is $889 a month. So if you're receiving $889 a month, how could you possibly pay a contract rent of $827 a month and afford to eat or do anything else, let alone pay a security deposit and all of the other moving expenses and costs? So there are things that our community can do to build affordable housing. I think there's lots that our city can do. Even with the zoning, I think that there can be, we have developers coming into our community all the time and building new developments and building homes for households that have a certain income. And I think one thing is called inclusionary zoning, where you can require that if you are going to build certain amount of units, a percentage of those has to be affordable, meaning set at a certain price so that a certain percentage of the population can afford those units. And we don't have that in our area. So developers can come in and make a huge profit, and there's no obligation or requirement for them to build units that people can actually afford. I think that's a huge thing that our community can work on to make sure that we're not just building the Cadillacs of housing, but we're building housing that the majority of us can afford to live in, because at this point, it's getting to the the point where only a few at the very top echelons are going to be able to provide for their families and live in a home.
Awesome. That was Jennifer Hafner, and big, huge shout out to her. She did, that was just one little piece of an interview I did to forward promote the upcoming Poor People's Palooza and Film Festival on Martin Luther King Day. But once again, she's going to be on the expert panel, as well as Ed Mayer, Executive Director of Butte County Housing, Tammy Ritter from Chico City Council. We've got James Coles, who is actually kind of co-producing slash co-partners for this event, from North Valley Housing Trust. And it's a huge shout out to that organization. I think it's one of the finest organizations I work with here in Chico, and I just feel blessed to be able to work with the folks over there. And a huge shout out to Tam Lee, who's actually helped coordinate. This is the third time she's been involved with Paloozas. So, everyone want to give me credit saying, hey, you couldn't have done it, but I don't know if I could have done it without Tam Lee. And I'm going to actually do a little bit about HUD Bash. I'm going to show that clip I just showed and have a little bit more discussion around, what a Real Housing First program looks like. With no further ado, I want to give a little bit of off-the-cuff backstory on this. So I'm putting together this whole palooza. It's going to be, the tagline is Affordable Housing Explained, right? And I got it all in my head. Pick up the Chico News and Review, man, and the next lady is in there on that day. They published on Thursday. And it was all about affordable housing and Bike for Built and this unbelievably uplifting. I swear it put a spring in my step. It was an early Christmas present to meet, to discuss. It just was. This woman's amazing. If I keep saying that, you're going to be like, just play the thing. But this is Liz Urbanowitz. Lizzie Urbanowitz is a student at UCLA, and she's going on an amazing journey. And no further ado, Lizzie Urbanowitz right here on KZFR, People Powered Radio. It's my distinct pleasure here for KZFR Radio and for the Poor People's Palooza to introduce Liz Urbanowitz from Chico, or Chico native. Hello, Liz.
Hi, it's nice to be here today. I'm 19 years old, and I will be biking across the country this summer to raise money and awareness for the affordable housing cause.
That's awesome. I'd like to know a little bit about your background here in Chico, Liz. As a Chico person, I've been here like 3 years, and I just love this place. And I'd like to know a little bit about your family and how it was growing up in Chico.
Yeah, so it's a great hometown. My dad's been here his whole life, and as have I. So born and raised, went to Core Butte Charter School, took classes out at Butte College and at Chico State, so definitely have roots here, and it's a beautiful town.
What's some of the funnest things you remember growing up in Chico as it relates to biking or maybe housing or just as a kid?
Okay, as it relates to biking, I biked everywhere, haven't owned a car yet, and I did mountain biking up in Upper Park, and bike to work. And my favorite job I ever had in Chico was coaching tennis out at 20th Street in the summers, where I biked to work every morning.
So you were never challenged for housing growing up as a family?
I wasn't. I've been very blessed. My family's always had good housing, and I've always been blessed to live in good neighborhoods in Chico. It's a pretty great town to grow up in.
What are some of your interests? I know I got biking down there, and obviously education, which is important, and being an activist. What are some of the other things that your interests?
So I do running as a hobby. I've done half marathons. I have yet to do a full marathon, but I probably will at some point. And I do a lot of writing on the side as well, and blogging. I've done blogging before too. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
nice. So maybe a little bit about your studies at UCLA.
Yeah, I'm a second year at UCLA. I'm studying linguistics, and I want to be an editor, maybe work for a publishing company after I graduate.
So I understand, Liz, from looking at your bio on that wonderful Chico News and Review article, that you worked for AmeriCorps last year. How'd that go, and what'd you do?
I did. I took a gap year before I went to UCLA and did AmeriCorps NCCC, the National Civilian Community Corps. It's a 10-month program for 18 to 24-year-olds. It's basically full-time service work around the country. It's really cool. It was some of the best months of my life. I traveled around and did work in various states, and my favorite project I did was working full-time with Habitat for Humanity of San Antonio. That's really where I was introduced to Habitat for Humanity and the affordable housing cause.
When you worked Habitat for Humanity, was it part of AmeriCorps, or that was like a follow-on?
It was. The way AmeriCorps works is it's a federal program, but they team up. They send teams of young adults to work for nonprofits around the country. And those nonprofits, include education or Habitat for Humanity, maybe a recycling center or something like that. Any nonprofit that needs a team of young people to do work for them. So it was through AmeriCorps that I worked for Habitat.
So listeners that might be listening to this, Liz, going, wow, I really am kind of interested in AmeriCorps. Maybe kind of give them a couple of bullets about the funnest things and the most rewarding things that happened to you the last summer at AmeriCorps.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was almost a year of my life, and I met some of the best people just from around the country. It was really cool. It's it has bases all over the country. I was based out of Denver, and we travel out in 15-passenger vans and go live in a community, really, for anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months. And I loved living in San Antonio. I got to live in Austin, Texas for a while as well. And I was there during South by Southwest, which was really fun. I was working at a recycling center. And I got to work for the Forest Service in Southeast Missouri and at a daycare in sort of a rural area in New Mexico. So it was fun to just be able to travel, see the country, and work with great people.
Wow, that's a pretty good smattering of different things. I mean, ending with daycare and then, well, that's really neat. So, yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity at AmeriCorps for someone that's out there enjoying what they're doing.
There is. If you are interested in service work and making a difference, there's definitely a lot of opportunity to do different things. Not all the work is that fun. Doing trail work for 3 months in the dead of summer in Missouri was not my favorite, but it's very rewarding overall, and I would absolutely do it again.
So Liz, tell us a little bit about Bike and Build and how you kind of got connected with that through some of the service work you did with AmeriCorps and Habitat.
Yeah, so I first learned about Bike and Build through AmeriCorps. It was at one of the team leaders did it last year, and she just raved about it, and I always wondered what it was. It's basically a nonprofit where it's teams of young adults biking across the country to raise money and awareness for affordable housing. So I looked into it and applied, and I'm happy to say I'm accepted for this summer. I'll be riding from Portland, Maine to Santa Barbara, California. Mm-hmm. So over 4,000 miles of biking.
Mm-hmm. Is this the first time there's been a thing called Bike and Build? Is this a 10th annual? I mean, what's the deal with Bike and Build?
Bike and Build has been around since 2003, and it's not professionally led cycling, but rather it's just for young adults ages 18 to 26. There's a couple team leaders, but it's basically people that want to spend their summer doing something adventurous, yet that gives back to the community.
Now, I understand it's going to be mid-June through early September?
Yeah, all the routes go. There's about 9 different routes, and they all go from the East Coast to the Pacific. And I'm doing a later starting route because my school ends later, but some of them start in May and go to August. Mine is from mid-June to September.
If you could kind of tell us what you expect, if you could have this little like forward-looking little telescope, what do you think it's going to look like as you go across the country?
Well, it's going to be biking probably on average about 70 miles a day, so up at 6, bike, and then along the way we're going to be stopping at about 15 or 16 different cities and doing a build day, which is part of what we do. So we bike some and then we also build some in the different communities we're in along the way.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a step back and kind of talk about what you have to do to prepare, how much money you need to raise and the training and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I may not be leaving until June 17, but I have a lot to do to prepare between now and then. Every rider has to raise a minimum of $4,500 to be able to ride. This money does go to pay for a bike, but most of it goes to be granted to nonprofits that are involved in affordable housing issues. I also have to train over 500 miles and do some affordable housing curriculum, so I'm knowledgeable about these issues as I ride across the country.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what you know about affordable housing right now.
So right now I've learned that affordable housing is, what defines affordable home is if payments plus taxes and basic utilities does not exceed 30% of a household's gross income. But unfortunately, there's way too many families in the United States who don't have the financial means to rent or own a home that's durable and affordable, especially if you're an extremely low-income individuals and families. And the National Low-Income Housing Coalition reports that 10.3 million individuals and families fall into this category. And many of these people are spending over 50% of their incomes on rent, which is just terrible because that's money that they can't spend on education or other valuable things that would contribute to quality of life. So it's a very big issue in the country today, and especially in California.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm remembering, doing it from memory is always kind of tricky for a 55-year-old, but my memory is pretty good. But Ed Mayer, when I interviewed him, I think the number he threw out, I believe it was 1.3 million. We are short 1.3 million units of affordable housing in California. I mean, what would you say to that number?
It sounds right to me. Yeah. And it's just really sad because the areas that need it most aren't necessarily it's not being built. You know, those affordable housing units aren't being built for families. And that's money that, you know, comes from the government, but also from different nonprofits that need funding, mm-hmm. which is what I'm trying to help do.
So talk a little bit, because you mentioned a little bit in that CNR article once again about, you know, allocating grant money and stuff like that. So maybe tell us what you know about what kind of money that you're going to be able to apply to this problem as you go across the country.
Yeah, so the cool thing is that I'm paying for all my gear and I'm footing most of the bill for my trip as far as travel expenses, so that all the money I'm raising from people is basically going to be going to these organizations. And the riders, of whom I'm one, we educate ourselves, and so we can help decide where that money goes and what nonprofits it's granted to, which I think is really cool, because I'll be able to be more informed and help get to decide where this money I'm raising gets to go.
Now, how is that process done? Because there's a bunch of you guys that are doing this ride this year. I mean, how many in general are going to be riding?
I'm going to be riding with about a team of 20 to 30, and there's, I think, 8 or 9 different routes. So mm-hmm. there's going to be quite a few of us out there on bikes this summer. And basically how it works is different nonprofits send in a request or a grant for money from Bike and Build. And then the riders, we kind of like work together, talk it out, and vote on who should get what percentage of the money. So we get to have a say in how the money is allocated, say, and how the money is spent that we've helped raise.
Let's talk a little bit about the training, because you said you've trained for half marathons before. I mean, what do you see yourself doing these next 7 months or so to June to get ready for this, Liz?
I'm going to be bike riding a lot. I have only had a mountain bike up to this point, but I'm going to be getting a road bike, and I'll be living down in LA. So just going on long bike trips, maybe join the bike club and bike with people. Just all about getting in shape so I'll enjoy the ride more and not want to die the first day.
Or the second.
Or the second, or the third, or the fourth, exactly.
What do you think you're looking forward to the most? I mean, some of the things you're looking forward to the most as an experience.
I'm looking forward to the people I'm going to meet. I've read some of their bios. They seem like a really cool group. And getting to see the country. I've seen a lot of the country kind of by car or, you know, just on road trips. But I have never got, you know, seeing the country at this slow pace of biking across the entire thing is going to be a really unique experience. So I'm looking forward to that.
So if I was to ask you, Liz, to kind of tell me if you ever heard what a soapbox is.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm feeling the generational. You know, stand up on your soapbox. If I was to put you on a soapbox for 1 minute and you were to talk about this wonderful Bike and Build and this project you're doing and traveling across the country, what would it sound like?
Well, so basically the reason this is so important is because it's kind of a grassroots way to raise money instead of just the government getting government grants, as Bike and Build could do. They're asking us as individuals to reach out to our communities and get money. And so that's why the donation aspect of it is so cool, because we're getting money from our own communities and we're using it across the country to be donated to different affordable housing organizations that are making an impact in their communities.
Thank you. That's perfect. It was nice to meet you, Liz.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, she's just, if you can even get a breath of how, what a beautiful young lady she was. I mean, she's, you know, old enough to be my daughter, and I'd be proud to have her as my daughter for sure. I want to give you a little information on Lizzie. Lizzie, who can't be at the Poor People's Palooza and Film Festival, which is really cool. A lot of times my interview style, I do an audio that airs on the air, and I did a neat little YouTube video that we do over at Caper Acres, where Lizzie, it's a little shorter presentation, but you get to see what Lizzie looks like. If you got no other reason you want to go to the Poor People's Palooza and Film Festival, but to meet this lady on the screen at least. And we're going to have some of her information on how you can support Lizzie in her Bike and Build trip this coming summer. You can find her online at classic.bikeandbuild.org/rider8612. She's Rider 8612. I'm going to go on to a story that I covered. I'm going to follow up on this one. And I did the first day of Occupy Sacramento to raise awareness of affordable housing and, most importantly, how oppressive the anti-camping bans are in Sacramento and other cities where you literally can be picked up for sleeping on the sidewalk. So this interview you're going to hear is from January 4th, which was literally 2 days after the city of Sacramento moved in to expel the protesters from their occupation site at Sacramento City Hall, where I had been there when they started it early in December. They've been there for over a month now with a peaceful protest to repeal the Sacramento ban on camping. Faygo details the arrest on the evening of January 2nd, the struggles folks on the street are having, and what this brave group of protesters have done to raise awareness to the discriminatory, cruel bans on the night to rest. I have to actually do a shout-out. I have two sister counties, man. Sacramento's one, Humboldt's one. I've known Jane Lee. I'm going into my fourth year of knowing James Lee Clark, a.k.a. Faygo, and the folks down in Sacramento who are giving it up all the time, man, to make sure that people's rights are respected and that we start to actually address this problem instead of kicking the can down the road. No further ado. We got coming up Faygo from Sacramento on the People Powered Radio. All right, it's our distinct pleasure to have James Faygo Clark from the Sacramento Community Dinner Project and the Occupy Sacramento, who's been down there giving a good fight, occupying Sacramento City Hall to raise awareness for the camping ban. So welcome to the KZFR Without a Roof show. I understand, man, that a few days ago it didn't go so well for you as far as having to be booked and put into jail. So why don't you kind of describe the recent police action out there on the curb, Faygo, and you know, what happened to all your brothers and sisters and stuff that were out there exercising their First Amendment rights?
January 2nd, 2016, just after midnight, about 50 officers armed in riot gear with batons came and surrounded everybody at City Hall to enforce the unlawful camping ordinance. There was only 20 protesters, mind you, to bring out this many officers. And they surrounded several individuals. They started making arrests, and it was really hectic, really hectic scene. Like I have not seen these many police for so few people before, ever. The first few people they went to go cite were two elderly disabled ladies, which kind of spurred a couple other individuals, including myself, to kind of stand our ground and just sit down and not move, resulting in our arrest. And then two others were arrested inside the tent. One of our protesters in the process was shoved to the ground so hard that he smacked his head on the ground really bad, and they're trying to get him checked out for a concussion. Another one claims an injury to his arm in the process. And we're very, very concerned about these actions. It's a big waste of taxpayers' money to send out all these officers in riot gear. I mean, for each one of them in riot gear, that's a time and a half. And that could be money being spent to get people off the streets instead.
So I look at the news. The news has been a fair amount of media on coverage on this, and all the media coverage is kind of leading with the fact, their facts. I want to get your statements on this, that all the protesters were given ample warning and ample time to vacate their occupation, and when they declined to do so, they moved in to make arrests. What would you add or subtract to that?
Well, what the city had tried to do is do a safe face tactic, which was they were holding off beds in these shelters specifically for the protesters, which means that they were taking away beds from other individuals out on the streets. Now, we were there specifically to protest. We weren't there for ourselves to go into these services at this point in time. Doesn't mean some of the people didn't want services. You know, a lot of us have been working with Sacramento Steps Forward and trying to get into the housing programs and everything. So them saying, oh, they didn't take these overnight services is kind of just smoke and mirrors.
So your assessment, that's an angle I haven't heard yet, Faygo, in that you're saying that there's very little shelter beds in Sacramento. There's probably a bed for like 1 in 15 persons living on the street. But so you're saying they literally just, on that particular night, they left aside 20 beds and said 20 more people, you sleep on the streets because we got somebody that's going to go in there? I mean, that's what you're saying?
That's basically what one of the officers had told me multiple times when they were trying to get us over there.
Okay.
It was about 4 days of them offering services before they made arrests. And we're at a drug and alcohol-free protest, and they're offering us a detox center. They're offering us a warming center where you have to be up until 4:15 in the morning, and then you get kicked out into the cold again.
Yeah, I heard that. You can't sleep in the warming center, that is in Sacramento. And then I know our listeners, maybe the listeners that don't follow this program judiciously, but I mean, really what you guys are fighting for is the right to the fact that there's not enough affordable housing and people are forced to sleep on the streets, irregardless of whether they're going to, you know, play musical chairs with the shelter system that literally just takes people in for a night and pushes them right out the door in the morning.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we have going on. And then I'm actually fairly offended that they would try to come to the protest and take beds away from other people to try to force the protesters into. It seems like they were just trying to make themselves look better by doing so, and in the process, they actually infuriated several of us that know that there's people that have medical need to be in those shelters that may not have made it in that night because they were saving space for us.
So you were released on your own recognizance. Everyone was in jail for like a night back out at the Occupy down there by City Hall. What was the dynamics there?
Three people were just cited and ordered to leave the premises. Four individuals were taken into custody and booked into the Maxing jail. They were released between 2 and 3 o'clock the next day. The charges for those that went to jail were resisting arrest and unlawful camping.
So did they give you the resisting arrest literally because you decided not to leave? I mean, I'm just trying to understand if there was any physical force.
We did not physically resist. We did, however, sit down.
Uh-huh.
That's all we did was sit down, and they gave us the resisting arrest charge.
Okay. Because, quote-unquote, you didn't go willfully and stand up and, you know, bow down. And okay.
But I was one of the first two people, or first four people arrested, so I can't speak for the ones after me. But I know that both me and David had, as soon as they touched us to tell us we were arrested, we got up with them and moved with them. We did not resist them once we were placed under arrest.
Okay, that's good to know, and I know you guys have good attorneys down there, so I know they'll be working on that. So you guys are back there on the corner. Are you less in numbers, and were there any additional arrests since the second?
Actually, there was just one this last night. Unfortunately, I wasn't on the ground for it, so I'm still trying to get information.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully later today we'll have some more information, and there's supposed to be a big action today there anyway. So
I think it would be a nice thing to kind of talk about all the good work. I'm not saying getting arrested to me is part of the good work, but that just seems like a drag for all involved, including the city of Sacramento, who's paying tens of thousands of dollars to run around in riot gear. But give us a little bit of some of the highlights since, you know, I was down there the first day of the occupation on the 8th. You know, what have you guys done as far as rallies and going into city council and that kind of stuff?
Well, there really hasn't been much chance to go into city council yet because they've been on vacation. But we have had a couple small marches. Mainly, we've been helping a lot of people be able to stay warm in the process of this. That's been the main thing that's been happening, is helping other people. Like, we're getting people that are coming out of the jailhouse that are, like, freezing because they don't have any clothes. When they were arrested, they had no clothes with them. So now they're running around in the middle of the freezing winter.
All right, man, I'm going to have to cut that one short because we've got I've been talking too much. But you'll be able to find that on YouTube. I'm going to post that one. I really appreciate all the work you guys are doing down there, Fago and folks. And right now, I'm going to be kicking it off to music. We're going to end it with music, and I want to give it enough time because I got a really all street performers, former street performers. Carrington's going to close it out for us. He's our headline tonight. He's all excited. Well, you got a couple songs, right?
Yeah. Got Radioactive and Angel and House of the Rising Sun, if we have time for that.
Awesome, man. So you're going to be hearing up right here. You're going to be hearing Forrest, who physically is an unbelievable trash drum player. Rick Shaw, man, beautiful thing. You'll be able to hear that he's a little bit drunk in this video. It's a video, but I play the audio. But he literally is pretty soon after that, he went pretty much clean and sober. He's doing really well. It's been like a year. And I would be remiss because I said we're going to have Guitar Clem on. He was not able to make it, but I have a really good interview from him from 2013 that we're going to play. But certainly, as important as anything is, you need to know that Without a Roof is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Blue Oak School in Chico, developing public walled-off education. Blue Oak Charter School provides rigorous academic standards and fully integrated music programs. Blue Oak is committed to nourishing and educating the whole child, based on natural development model. For more information or our school tour, call 879-7483 or by visiting BlueCharterSchool.org. And by the Ebony and Ivory fundraising concert series at the Chico Women's Club. The next concert features the rock and roll soul of Lori Dana. Lori Dana is the best smile in Chico. Shout out Lori Dana and Sapphire Soul. Dana will be joined by the Sapphire Soul band, violinist Vera Marie Bridges, and I know her as well, another beautiful musician, and other special guests.
Doors at 6 with tickets at ChicoWomen'sClub.org. Tickets will be available at the door. I have to forward promo Beetle Nation. It's kind of funny. I think I might have missed our call to get in on the door. You hear this the light and you pick up. So I'm going to get on to the music here so that I can make sure the Beetle Nation gets in here on People Powered Radio. But with no further ado, we're going to wrap it up here on the January Without a Roof show. Hope to see you at the Poor People's Palooza and Phil Festival. And always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.
Shoes fucking old. It never get old. It's trash and show.
Rick Shaw says he plays anything that makes a sound. Is that what you said, Rick?
Six different states.
Guitar Clem is housed.
Washington, Oregon, Northern California, Nevada. Arizona, New Mexico, Southern California, back up to Chico, because I was raised here. So always come back home. And maybe this spring, I'll go again. I don't know. It took me 2.5 years to make that trek on boot leather. And rides from bands and bars I go to get to open up for. I said, hey, can I hitch a ride to the next city? Yeah, sure, jump in. So that's how I get around that way. But usually I'm on foot. Get to meet all the PD departments on the way if I'm on foot. Kind of like, what's that one movie there with all Rambo going just through a city, just wanting to get something to eat, and then he ends up in some of the hills shooting everybody up. That I don't do.
No, I can see that, Clem.
But anyway, it's what it feels like sometimes. I'm not much of a singer. I don't claim to be. I'm too old to be hired by anybody. If I did have a job, I'd be a bartender or work in a music store.
But you're doing what you love out here, it seems.
Well, that's it. Yeah, gotta do something. But this is what it is now. I like the farmers markets. Everybody's friendly.
They are.
And you get a lot of fruit, vegetables. And you get some cash value, too. Everybody's got a guitar case out here, and most of them just carry them. And there's a few good musicians out here. You could go to Hasbeans or and play down in the streets or something like that. I've checked them all out, most of them, and they're learning. They're learning. And so they're too young to be doing that, but it's, I guess, is what they're doing here.
What do you mean they're too young doing what? I'm sorry.
Well, they should be outside carrying a guitar around and should be in school.
Oh, okay.
I know, and get an education at least first before you go out here and end up homeless the rest of your life. See, I'm not homeless because I have to be. I choose to live outside. And there's a difference. I already worked 20 years in the workforce and learned my skills. And so I can always go back to that when I want to. But for now, I just make people smile and get a donation and just kind of hack it out.
Anybody that's having trouble placing Guitar Clem, he's a staple at the farmer's market on Saturdays, right there at the entrance, man. And I want everyone that's listening, anyone that sees him, to congratulate him on having house keys, not handcuffs. You know, Carrington, man, that's a tough act to follow, but I know you're going to do it, man. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, I can never keep up with Clem. You know, he actually is the person that taught me how to slide a few years back.
Did he?
Yeah.
There you go.
Farmer's market, even. But not going to be sliding tonight. No good at that, really. But here comes Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Here on People Powered Radio.
Waking up, ash and dust. Wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. Shaping up, checking out of the prison bus. This is it, apocalypse. Oh, I'm waking up, I feel it in my bones. Enough to make my system blow. Welcome to the new age, to the new age. Welcome to the new age, to the new age. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm radioactive, radioactive. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, I'm radioactive, radioactive. Raise my flag, don my clothes. It's a revolution, I suppose. Paint it red to fit right in. Whoa, whoa. Breaking in, shaping up. I'm checking out of the prison bus. Says it the apocalypse. Whoa, whoa. I'm waking up, I feel it in my bones, enough to make my system blow. Oh, welcome to the new age, to the new age. Welcome to the new age, to the new age. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm radioactive, radioactive. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm radioactive. All systems go. Sun hasn't died. Deep in my bones. From inside, yeah, I'm waking up. I feel it in my bones, enough to make my system blow. Oh, welcome to the new way, to the new age. Welcome to the new way, to the new way. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm radioactive, radioactive. Whoa, whoa, oh, whoa, whoa. I'm radioactive, radioactive. Whoa, 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 I'm radioactive, radioactive. Whoa, 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 I'm radioactive.
That was awesome, man. Hey, you know what I was thinking before you do the next? Do you know any Beatles songs?
I don't. I'm sorry. I wish. That would have been great for
you. Yeah, maybe over the next couple of months you can work on a Beatles song.
You know,
wouldn't that be cool?
One of my friends actually just got a Beatles book, so I might actually.
Awesome. The girls would like that. The Beatles, you know, I have to say, it's one of the blessed things about doing this show. The Beatle Nation's run by some wonderful youth out here. I'm looking at them. I don't know. I'm just the father. I'm thinking they're like 10, 11 years old, and it's a lot of fun being in the studio with those guys. So anyway, I'm taking your airtime, man. Go for it. What do you got next?
This is actually a song I just started learning today, so hopefully it's not going to be awful, but here it goes. It's Angel by Shaggy.
Angel by Shaggy on People Powered Radio.
Girl, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Closer than my peeps, you are to me, baby. Shorty, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Girl, you're my friend when I'm in need, lady. Life's one big party when you're still young, but who's gonna have your back when it's all done? Looking back, it's all good when you live a life of pure fun. Can't be a soul, son, what about the long run? Looking back, shorty, always a mention. Said me not giving her much attention. She was there through my incarceration. I wanna show the nation my appreciation. Girl, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Closer than my peeps, you are to me, baby. Shorty, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Girl, you're my friend when I'm in need, lady. You're a queen and that's how you should be treated, though you never get the loving that you needed. Coulda left, but I called and you heeded. Begged and I pleaded, I'm mission completed. Mama said that I always did the program. Not the type to mess around with her emotions, but the feeling that I have for you is so strong. I've been together so long, this could never be wrong. Girl, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Closer than my peeps, you are to me, baby. Shorty, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Girl, you're my friend when I'm in need, lady. Girl, in spite of my behavior, you are my savior. You must be sent from up above. You appear to me so tender, so girl, I surrender. Thanks for giving me your love. Now in spite of your behavior, you are my savior. I must be sent from up above. You appear to me so tender, well, girl, I surrender. Thanks for giving me your love. Life's one big party when you're still young, and who's gonna have your back when it's all done? It's all good when you live a life of pure fun. Can't be a fool, son, what about the long run? Looking back, shorty, always a mention. Said me not giving her much attention. She was there through my incarceration. I wanna show the nation my appreciation. Girl, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Closer than my peeps, you are to me, baby. Shorty, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Girl, you're my friend when I'm in need, lady. Girl, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. Closer than my peeps, you are to me, baby. Shorty, you're my angel, you're my darling angel. And you're my friend when I'm in need, lady.
That was so awesome, Carrington. Not only that, you're like right at the very top of the hour. So thanks again for coming in and being on the show, Carrington. We'll do this again next month, I hope. Yeah. Going to give the station ID, and I'm going to play the first song for Beatle Nation. We're all out there in the studio, the green room. This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico. Listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Once again, it's been Gamble Mash. Tune in tomorrow. You can hear me at 11:30 on the Peace and Social Justice Show. All God's blessings for the new year, and happy and safe travels.